God's answer to your prayer for freedom that Jesus already bought for you is the gospel for today. He puts his own word in our hearts today by his Holy Spirit that he may give us freedom. This man who said, only guy who ever could have said it and really meant it, come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. He also said, partly less famously, he said to his enemies, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And this is God's word. Grace and peace to you then from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And say it with me, would you? Amen. So the day of rest for Jewish people, Saturday, in one way this sermon could be very short. Do you have to take every Saturday off? No, we read what Paul wrote to the Colossians. But it's really helpful for us to talk about it today for a couple reasons. One is that if you look up an encyclopedia like I did once, it might very well say Sabbath, and then it might say for Jews Saturday, for Christians Sunday. Or you might know someone who is a member of a Seventh-day Adventist church. Not too many right close to us here. There are Seventh-day Baptists as well. Not too many. But they would say you've got to have church on Saturday. Sometimes some of our churches, as they're getting started, even borrow Seventh-day Adventist buildings for services on Sundays because they don't use them on Sundays. Then there's the largest group of Christians in the world who have a catechism that says you have to go to church every Sunday unless you're sick or you went the night before because it is, quote, a holy day of obligation. And this will be a strange one for, shouldn't the pastor be arguing that that is the, why would I cut my own so-called throat? Isn't every Sunday a holy day of obligation? Isn't the largest Christian group in the world right when they say that if your country doesn't consider Sunday a holiday, you should lobby your government? This too is in their catechism. You should lobby your government so that every Sunday is a holiday. That's not what Jesus said. And it's really helpful, it's really interesting to look at what Jesus said in the gospel for today, because he said, above all, if there's one thing we're going to remember, he said, the Son of Man, and he was talking about himself. It was his code word for himself. And we just don't have time to go into the whole story of how he got that code name for himself. It goes back to Daniel in a vision that God's prophet had seen in modern Iraq and ancient Babylon some 500 years before, where there's one man being led into God's holy presence. He gets all the worship that there ever could be. But Jesus says, the Son of Man, the man who will be exalted someday, I'm a real human being just like you, and yet I am Lord even of the Sabbath. I'm in charge of days of the week. I'm in charge of which day you rest. Which is really interesting. Helpful probably for us just to make sure we got the story here, since this isn't as familiar as some. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded. It starts on a Saturday morning. Is it Saturday morning and God's friends here, Jesus and his 12 disciples, they're just on their way to the synagogue, and so they're hungry and they're getting breakfast on the way? Or is it right after the morning synagogue service and they're really hungry and so they're getting a little lunch on the way out of the synagogue? That might work better because the Pharisees see them. There's super, we got to keep all of God's rules, guys called the Pharisees. And we read, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. So there must have been fields not so different from our town, fields very close to where the synagogue was. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. They couldn't have walked far. The rule was no more than 1,000 yards on a Sabbath. That was the rabbi's rule, and Jesus probably obeyed it, even though that wasn't part of God's Old Testament law. There was also an interesting rule of old that it was okay to grab grain from someone else's field. We can read, for example, in Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy chapter 23. If you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to his standing grain. So God had commanded elsewhere that his people were to leave a little extra grain in the field. Don't harvest every last bit. In this case, we would figure it's wheat. don't harvest every last bit of the wheat. Leave a little bit for the poorest of the poor, which is who Jesus is, evidently, or at least his disciples. Technically, we don't read of him eating the grain here, but what's going on? You can't grab a sickle. You can't do work, of course. And his disciples, that's the accusation. The Pharisees say, your disciples are harvesting. They're doing work. Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And again, they seemed, at least in one way, to have God's law in their favor. Here's from Mount Sinai, from what we'll call the book of Exodus. God had said to his people, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. Does that mean that nobody ever today could ever be in the field on a Sunday morning because the weather's great and you got to get the crop in, or you got to get it planted before the rain comes, either way? It's interesting. God really sets a priority for his word in his day, and yet, what did Jesus answer when the Pharisees said, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Matthew tells us a bit more. Matthew says that Jesus starts out by talking about how God really wants compassion above all. How God's plan is not necessarily to have a day. Yes, God wants it. Let's even read what Matthew says. He answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? And haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. What's going on that's greater than the temple of God? And not only can Jesus say, well, there's an exception because priests do work every Saturday, but what's up with the story he tells? That deserves a little time too. Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? The fascinating thing here is he doesn't mention the high priest who actually was in charge that day. There was a little town north of Jerusalem about 1,000 years before Jesus called Nob. And in Nob was a high priest for God in the house of God, which was really only a tent. And Ahimelech, the high priest, has David walk in the church, so to speak. David comes in. David is like Robin Hood. He's got a band of merry men, so to speak. They're on the run from King Saul. And did Jesus mention this story because he was David's own descendant? Wink, wink. Nudge. Nudged. Is he trying to get through to them that he is the anointed king of Israel, even though he hasn't really taken his throne yet? Is that also why he mentions Abiathar, not Ahimelech? I would love to know. Jesus mentions Abiathar in the days of Abiathar, the man who would become high priest after his dad Ahimelech, first to Ahimelech. Ahimelech, in our terms, took bread from God's table. They didn't have little tiny wafers. They had more like the shape of a tortilla or a pancake. And there were 12 loaves every day on a table in God's house. And normally that was only for the priest the day after it had been placed on God's table. But in case of emergency, David doesn't have a sword. So Ahimelech says, well, here, take Goliath's sword from when you killed Goliath in battle before. And here, take the bread if you guys are starving. Because in case of emergency, things are different. Just like sometimes with our traffic laws. In case of emergency, some things might be different, but Jesus has a bigger point than that. In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God, Jesus said, and David ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. It's interesting how he put it. He gave some to his companions. Jesus is hinting, I think. Jesus is trying to get somewhere with this. He went on to say, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What is Jesus hinting at? Was he claiming that he was there on Mount Sinai? He knows why the Sabbath was made? Or is he at least saying, well, on the sixth day Adam and Eve were made, and then the seventh day when God rested from all of his work, that was after the sixth day. So stands to reason it was not the Sabbath for man, or rather the other way around. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Man came first, then the Sabbath. In any case, you've got the example, you've got the argument, then comes the assertion. Then comes the big point at the end. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And that's where the mic drops, that we don't read anything more here. It's just boom. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That's the big point, which is hard to appreciate unless we try to put it in modern terms. Let's say you tell everybody, from now on, Wednesday is going to be the day when everyone takes a day off and those who go to church are going to go to church. We're going to switch the whole week. It's Wednesday. And everyone says, who says? And you say, well, I say so. People, how do you get to change it and make it Wednesday? Or if you said, well, let's not do that. Let's just add an extra day. We'll have a three-day weekend every week by having an eight-day week. Why? Because I say, how do you get to change the days of the week? Who are you? That's what people would say. Who is this man, is the question. And he answers, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, even of the Sabbath. I'm in charge of rest. How wonderful it is. And we rest in that. We ourselves, can we say that we have always prioritized God's word, God's day? Even if we know that things are different now, that Paul wrote to the Colossians to make clear what Jesus was hinting at here, that there is no particular day of the week when you have to be in God's house. We can have a Thursday night service as well as a Sunday morning service still. What if on Judgment Day, all God judged you on was the third commandment? That's the only commandment. We'll just for the sake of argument, we'll just set aside nine of them. And you know that God's command to you is to regard His word as holy and gladly hear and learn it. What are your chances if that's the only commandment you had to obey and we would all have to plead guilty? I haven't always put God's word first. Prioritize what God says above anything else. But here comes Jesus, and He's the Lord of the Sabbath. This is the most wonderful thing. Here comes Jesus, who, when He's asked about something on a Saturday, He could have just said, well, listen, I'm telling you, here's how it works on Saturdays from now on, because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Instead, He says, have you never read in the Bible? And if I asked you earlier today, now, do you know the story about Abiathar and Ahimelech? And which one was the dad and which one was the father anyways? And is that in 1 or 2 Samuel 21? We'd probably flunk a few people on that test. And of course, you don't have to know obscure details about Old Testament stories to be a believer. But this man knows them by heart, doesn't he? It's wonderful. It's tremendous. He thinks that God's word gives the answer to everything. It's because he's been going to the synagogue every Saturday. Here's my challenge. Find for me, you know already where this is going, but find for me the place that says somewhere in the Bible that Jesus skipped a Saturday. And the answer is you can't. Luke says he went to the Sabbath, went to the synagogue every Saturday as was his custom, and that was for you. That was to give you rest. Even one commandment is too big a burden for us to manage. We show it all the time. And Jesus says, I'll prioritize God's word. I'll put God in His word first. And not only will I live a perfect life as my Father demands of everybody, not only will I live like a loser, I'll claim to be the Lord of the Sabbath, but I'll walk around looking like the Lord of the losers. We're so hungry we have to grab and eat raw grain because we don't have any other food. But I'll die in an even more lowly way. If that's what my Father demands, here I am. And He does. He dies for all of our sins. He rises in glory on Easter Sunday. But in the meantime, there was a Saturday, wasn't there? And we usually skip that part of the gospel. Let's highlight it for just a moment. Even in death, Jesus kept God's Sabbath commandment for you, didn't He? Jesus rested on the day of rest. So you are perfectly free. You don't have an obligation with God. Again, isn't that the strangest thing to hear a pastor say? Shouldn't I be saying, well, okay, we're going to sneak something in on the backside here because you better do this. And Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. You hear it in God's word. You can come forward in a few minutes and taste it and see it. The Lord is good. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Jesus gives it to the Pharisees. Jesus gives it to the guys who fold their arms. But in our case, it's like with his disciples, freedom. Absolute freedom. Rest not only in the dual nature of the Sabbath, but rest, or in the dual nature of who Jesus is, but rest in the dual nature of the Sabbath then. What do we mean? It's worth to go back to this story. In the days of Abiathar the high priest, so, as we said, there's a priest who's older, he's named Ahimelech. David comes in. David says, "Hey, do you have any bread?" And Ahimelech says, "Well, we got the consecrated bread." And he gives it to David. What happens after that? There was a spy watching. And he went back to King Saul. And he told Saul what David had done and how Ahimelech had given him the bread. And then Saul and his soldiers came to Nob, this town just north of Jerusalem. It wasn't Saul personally, but he gave the order. And they wiped out 84 priests. They wiped out the village. They killed even the babies. It was one of the most disgusting accounts you could ever read in the Bible. What? Why did... And one man escaped to tell the story, and his name was Abiathar. When God's enemies tried to kill people for no reason, one man escaped. You get again? I can't tell you for sure, but there's a little wink in here. There's a hint. There's a nudge. In the days of... He doesn't say in the days of Ahimelech the high priest. He says in the days of Abiathar the high priest. There is a man who is going to rise from the dead. And he's going to give such freedom then. In the days of Abiathar the high priest, when he entered the house of God. The house of God, it was a tent. It wasn't some big impressive building. Later, David would lay the plans for a big building and Solomon would build it. And this is a pretty nice building we're in. This has stained glass and everything. Is it the most impressive church building in the world? No. Jesus wants to have his house in your heart. And he wants to come again to give eternal rest to everybody. He wants this entire world to be a place where nobody goes hungry and no one ever gives it to somebody else for not being compassionate or anything of the sort. Maybe a story cements it as we wrap up. There was on Friday a terrible incident in Maine. Did any of you catch this in the news? A town of about 20,000 people, a deranged lady starts driving onto a little league ball field. There's 8 and 9 year old boys playing baseball on a Friday night. And all of a sudden there's a car careening around the infield and people are screaming. And of course now it's 2018, so there's cell phone video. But what was up? People scattered to get out of the way. And one man, according to witnesses, pushed some boys out of the way, tried to save them. And a 68-year-old man named Douglas was killed by the vehicle. Oh my goodness. Died trying to save other people's lives. They haven't released all the news reports yet about it, but on an evening when people were trying to get a little rest, trying to get a little relaxation, one man did way more than anybody else. There's a little moral to that story, or a connection to God's word for us here today. There is a man who comes to this earth to give you freedom. He lays down his life for you after perfectly obeying God for you. What will they do in that town? Certainly someone's going to erect a plaque. Someone's going to... There will be an outpouring of thanks and gratitude for one man who tried to save everybody else, at least a few, on a ball field. What will we do next? You have no obligations with God. You have perfect freedom with God. Jesus is your Lord of rest. So then, what attitude will you have toward him and his word? Not out of, "I gotta," but "I want to. I'm glad to. I live in the most perfect freedom because Jesus set me free." Amen. Please rise.